Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good Monday morning, everyone. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. New York City Comptroller and mayoral hopeful William Thompson is our first guest today. You know, the mayoral race took an unexpected turn last week, if you weren't paying attention, when Congressman Anthony Weiner sort of suspended his campaign. Now, it may take another turn today when Comptroller Thompson asks or reinforces his request for the U.S. Justice Department to actually overturn the term limits law that allows Mayor Bloomberg to run for a third term. He says it might be unfair to minorities in the city. So we will talk politics, and of course we will talk the New York economy with Comptroller Bill Thompson now. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's a pleasure to be back. Good seeing you.
And let's go right to this announcement that you're making at noon today about the term limits law and the Voting Rights Act. What's your argument?
Well, what we are doing is calling on the Justice Department to overturn the term limit change. New York City has to file for preclearance in any change to voting rights in New York City. Three of the five counties, Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx, are covered by the Voting Rights Act. So what we are asking the federal government is to, and the Justice Department specifically, is to say no to the term limit change. We think that if you look, there are at least three city council districts in the city of New York that are right now represented by white incumbents, that there's a distinct possibility of those, if it wasn't for the term limit changes, that those districts would be represented by minority elected officials.
Give us the background on this a little bit, because when people think of the Voting Rights Act, they think of the segregated South, poll taxes and all of that in the 1950s and 60s. This law was passed in 1965, one of the great pieces of civil rights legislation in American history. And probably a lot of listeners don't realize this has anything to do with Brooklyn, Queens, or the Bronx.
Well, we have seen the Voting Rights Act and preclearance on any change in the past. If you look at congressional districts or districts being redrawn, that goes to the Justice Department because the Voting Rights Act covers and makes sure it protects minority voters here in New York City. So we had filed before, you know, as I said, our attorneys had filed with the Justice Department. We are hopeful, and we expect a decision this week. We're hopeful that the Justice Department will, you know, see that, in fact, that this term limit change was wrong. I think we've argued both and still are in federal court on appeal that this was wrong, that this, you know, undercuts voters in the city of New York as a whole, but in this case specifically, that minority voters are being denied an opportunity to elect minority representatives in some council districts.
And is this just about council districts, or are you arguing that in the case of Mayor Bloomberg, I mean, one could say, you know, having Bloomberg eligible to run adds a candidate rather than subtracts one, and one who has done well with voters of color in the past and who gets a pretty high job approval rating from them?
Well, it's not a question of just the mayoral, even though that is incorporated. It really is, in that case, an incumbent who it's not just an incumbent. It's an incumbent who has an incredible amount of money who can that he can spend. And I think in it creates an unfair advantage for not just because of the money, but because of the incumbency. And I think that's something that's included but not focused on. I think it is looking around the city of New York.
Should Mayor Bloomberg's money, in your opinion, be an issue in this campaign? He's the richest person in New York, as we know from last week's filing. Should the richest person and the mayor not be the same person as a matter of principle, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I think that what Mayor Bloomberg does in spending $60, $70, $80, $100 million in election campaigns, and we've seen it twice in the past, now 2001 and 2005, is to establish a different set of rules. We have campaign finance here in New York City, and if the mayor chooses not to accept those dollars and you know, from the public, that's understandable. At the same point, playing with a different set of rules, setting the set of rules that you know, nobody else plays by, or he just plays by his own set of rules, I think it's unfair. And it just goes back to, you know, to a mayor who really thinks that the rules don't apply to him.
Although apparently there's nothing that can be done about it under the law short of changing the United States Constitution, according to the Supreme Court.
It isn't a question of whether it is, you know, of whether it's permissible. Sure, the mayor can spend his own money. The question is it right? Is that what everybody else does? Is that the rules that the rest of us play by? And I think that in the past, you know, we have continued to set up and probably have the best form of campaign finance in the country here in New York City, which encourages and creates opportunity for so many. And the fact that the mayor chooses not to play by those rules, I think it just indicates he thinks he's above them.
There's been a lot of speculation that Mayor Bloomberg's money intimidated Anthony Weiner out of this race, at least for now. Do you think so?
Oh, I don't know if it was the money that intimidated Congressman Weiner. I think you'd have to speak to him and, you know, ask why he's decided at least to defer his decision. Even though, as I said, I don't think his, you know, if you look at his comment in his letter, I don't think he's indicated that he's not going to run. I think he's deferring that decision. So you'd have to speak to the congressman.
All right. I actually want to play a clip of Congressman Weiner. This is from New York One yesterday, talking about why he says he is, for the moment, deferring the decision to do what everybody thought he was already doing, which was running for mayor.
Just doesn't feel right to be out there knocking on doors, going to campaign rallies at a time when there's so much important work to be done in Washington. Mayor Bloomberg said something similar recently when he said that it's too early for the campaign to begin. So I guess we're on the same page on that.
What do you make of that? Do you buy that at face value?
Well, I know the congressman has, you know, important work in Washington, as all of the members of the New York City and New York State congressional delegation have. I have important work here in the city of New York as comptroller, which I'm still doing and still focused on. At the same point, it doesn't mean that people right now in New York City aren't hungry to talk about the future of New York City, that there aren't families, both working, you know, lower income and middle class families across New York City who are suffering, who want to talk about the future of New York City. So, no, I think I can do both. I can do my job as comptroller and at the same point campaign and talk about the future of New York City.
Is Weiner just engaging in a campaign strategy so we in the press start asking, ooh, will he or won't we from now till July and talk more about him than you?
I guess we're going to have to see, if that's what happens. But, I take the congressman at face value that he'll look at that decision and he is going to stay focused in Washington.
And if we assume that Mayor Bloomberg will again spend $60 to $80 million to get reelected, how much money do you expect to raise?
Well, I think I've raised about probably in excess of $5 million already before matchable. So, what would have been the money for the primary? That $6.3 million, we would have raised the maximum there and going to start to look to focus on raising money for the general election. Hopefully in the end, if you have, $15, $20 million in total, obviously it's going to be dwarfed by what the mayor would spend. Normally for a primary and a general election, we would spend $12 million total.
Can you beat him with that much of a campaign finance disparity? Or maybe I should ask the question the other way. Do we make too much of the mayor's money? After all, the Yankees don't win the World Series every year.
No, well, that is true. The person who spends the most money doesn't always win. I think that what we just saw in November in Barack Obama's election is that, people can beat money. And then I think that in putting together a movement across the city of New York, a group of people, or New Yorkers from all backgrounds and all communities who want to change the direction of New York City, who want to make sure that there is more fairness in what happens in the city, who are concerned that in these tough times, the decision that the mayor will make will work against working and middle class New Yorkers. I can put together an election that will lead to victory in November.
New York City Comptroller and Democratic mayoral hopeful William Thompson, my guest on WNYC. Our comments page is open for this segment at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. What do you think of the state legislature's idea, talking about working and middle-income Americans and New Yorkers, to raise taxes on people making more than $250,000 a year? They're apparently now making progress with this in the state Senate as well as the Assembly. Mayor Bloomberg says that'll scare away wealthier taxpayers to other states, and we need those wealthier taxpayers here. Do you have a position on this?
Yes, I do. Weeks ago, I had advocated that we increase taxes on New Yorkers making $500,000 or more. I know that others have suggested, the number be $300,000 or $250,000. Whatever it is, I think it is clear that we need to increase taxes on wealthier New Yorkers during these tough times. And then when things get better, roll those taxes back. But I think, if you look at the mayor's opposition to this a couple of weeks ago, I think it really just shows how he doesn't understand what's going on. And the fact that here in New York City, where I've talked about increasing taxes on wealthy New Yorkers, the mayor's solution is, one of two things, depending upon what you want to go back and look at. The increase in sales tax on working and middle-class New Yorkers, or you know, what almost appeared to be the mayor's solution about having, I think from his radio show, having more wealthy New Yorkers. Or
well, in fact, let me play that clip. Here is the mayor on, I believe this was February 3rd, on his WOR radio show about the importance of having these wealthy New Yorkers.
And at this point in time, while we're certainly going to have high taxes, it is going to be a very big drag on the economy. I think it will force some people or incent some people to go elsewhere. The issue that we should be debating is how you find a tax policy that does the minimal damage while still providing the revenues that we need.
Did you frame the question right?
Well, you know something, I think it really is just a question of not understanding what's going on. Middle-income New Yorkers are losing their jobs. They're losing their homes through foreclosure. They're losing their health insurance. And in so many cases, they're losing, you know, their retirements and their hope. People are concerned about putting food on the table right now. To worry about running out, you know, wealthy New Yorkers, they're not going to leave New York
City.
But
Watson, you're the controller. You're in charge of the city's finances, or at least keeping those books. Will it not force some people to go elsewhere, in the mayor's words, and therefore wind up detrimental to the city's tax coffers in the long term?
I think if you look at every state and municipality that surrounds New York City, New Jersey, John Corzine recommended an increase in taxes on wealthy New Jersey residents. I think you're seeing things like that in Connecticut. Wealthy New Yorkers, if we increase taxes in the short term, aren't going to flee New York City. They understand that you know, that we're going through a sense of shared sacrifice right now through incredibly difficult times. It seems as if the mayor does not understand that. And, you know, his, you know, in listening to his radio show that day where he talked about wealthy New Yorkers going into fancy restaurants and spending more money and that would benefit the rest of us, just shows how out of touch he is.
You were talking about city taxes before. Were you saying Mayor Bloomberg has been wrong to raise property taxes here because they're aggressive, rather than city income tax rates, which would hit the rich harder?
I think that in this period of time, as I said, right now we are in probably the most difficult financial times that this city has seen. I would have said before, since the mid-1970s when we almost went bankrupt, but it is worse now because the city and state are in tough places, as well as the federal government. I think that increasing taxes, and you have seen taxes bounce back on homeowners in this city and a property tax. It had been reduced before by 7%. It has bounced back again. So to be able to talk about increasing taxes on, you know, average New Yorkers, while at the same point excluding the wealthy New Yorkers, is unfair.
So you would roll back the property taxes and you would have an increase in income tax rates on both the city and the state level?
I wouldn't roll back property tax cuts, the property tax cut right now. You can't afford to do that. We don't want to see city services decline dramatically. So right now, we should leave those where they are at. We should look to increase taxes on wealthy New Yorkers.
Okay.
That's what we should do.
So just to be clear, when you talk about rolling back cuts, it gets confusing like a double negative. You would keep the property taxes
where they are right
now.
You
would not reduce them.
No, I would not.
New York City Controller William Thompson, Democratic mayoral hopeful, my guest on WNYC. WNYC reported last week that the city saw more lawsuit payouts again last year from suits in general, and in particular from lawsuits against the police. Our Bob Henley has done investigative reporting on this. I know that as controller, you've been monitoring that. Are they not learning lessons about actionable behavior by police officers that they should be learning, in your opinion?
Yes. I've suggested in the past that if you look at the recommendations from the Bar Association of the City of New York back in 99 and 2000, those were valid recommendations that would have led to greater oversight, would have led to sharing of information between the police department, the controller's office, and the law department. We could have gotten a better handle on some of that. That has not occurred. I think that just providing and looking at lawsuits against claims filed against police officers for brutality and other things, civil rights violations, I think closer attention being paid on the part of the police department could lead to a reduction in those things.
You want to get more specific about that? Because Mayor Bloomberg says they are learning lessons.
Well, if the lessons are being learned, unfortunately, they're not being learned well enough because the numbers continue to go up.
What reforms? Is it different kinds of police practices?
Well, as I said, it is looking at where, and it's not just in the police departments across the city of New York because we'd like to drive settlements down. It is looking at, you know, kind of data mining, taking the information, understanding where you're seeing increases and starting to put practices in place to drive those downs. Department of Transportation, as an example, you see, you know, areas where there are accidents or areas where there are problems, trips, falls, other things. Make changes to those so we don't keep getting sued.
From our website, back to the question of taxes, Leo from Queens asks, can you ask Mr. Thompson about his take on tax and fees policy in the city and the pressure being put on the middle and working class in order to protect the very wealthy in this city? At least that's the way he sees the purpose of them. Are we instituting all kinds of fees? Are we nickel and diming? Do you think cop quotas are up, ticket quotas?
Well, you saw last week that there were, you know, that the police department was going to create real focus on hands-free, on people who are using their cell phones and cars. Those are revenue, you know, ideas. It isn't just in safety. It is in let's try and raise revenue in the short term. And all of that winds up squeezing. You go get a parking ticket these days. In some instances, that is a day's pay or 2 days' pay or 3 days' pay for some New Yorkers. It is painful these days. And we have to be, you know, pay attention that who does it fall on? Again, working and middle-class New Yorkers.
New York City Comptroller and mayoral hopeful William Thompson, my guest on WNYC. Let me go down some things in the news and see if you have some quick takes. Mm-hmm. AIG, have an opinion about these bonuses while the company is under taxpayer control?
Well, while some of that is good for New York City's coffers, because those in AIG who live in New York City and work in New York City are paying taxes on their bonuses at the same point, to take money, you know, in bailout money, which is our tax money, and then turn around and give it out in bonuses is disgraceful. It is absolutely outrageous. Those are our tax dollars. And I think that right now, you know, the bonuses that so many companies are paying need to be suspended because that's our money. When things start to get better, pay those bonuses. But right now, give bonuses in stock.
What about the contracts that the Obama administration acknowledges were in place?
No, and I understand that. And you're not going to throw law out the window or suspend law. However, those in these corporations, those in companies like AIG and others that are receiving money from the federal government need to understand, the employees need to say, wait a minute. If it wasn't for the federal government, we'd probably be out of a job. Let's take less during these difficult times.
But which way does do the taxpayers of New York City win more or lose more? Because this is at best a double-edged sword for New York City, isn't it? The drop in Wall Street bonuses, as you've reported as controller, is such a big part of the city's decline in revenue to fund things like police and education.
It is at the same point. Taxpayers are paying money out that is going to these corporations. It is. It is a very double-edged sword. Where do we net less? As I said, even with the federal government, it isn't just the taxes that we are paying now that are going to these companies. It's the deficit that's being created. It's the money we're going to wind up paying over a series of years.
Do you have an opinion about nationalizing the big banks, or what form of bank rescue is best for New York City?
Well, I would say almost that, I think we're starting to play word games now. Nationalization of different companies. When we own, 40% of AIG, we own 38% of AIG, we own major portions of other companies. At this point, I think nationalization has come. We're just not calling it that.
Well, if real nationalization comes, then the shareholders' value goes to zero, people who have Citibank stock, for example. And someone told me that the city pension fund stands to lose a lot of money if they nationalize something like Citibank because you're in there as an investor. Is that correct?
Well, we've already lost money in companies like Citibank and others, Bear Stearns. You try and spread risk out, so
right.
It is all across
but
the board.
But Bear Stearns is gone. Citigroup isn't. Bank of America isn't. And I presume there's a fair amount of New York City pension fund invested in those, or no?
Absolutely. At the same point, I think that what we're talking about is that nationalization right now, when I say we're playing word games, the United States government, the taxpayers own big pieces of some of these companies because of the money that we have pumped in. We're not calling it nationalization right now, but we're making recommendations on board members. We're making recommendations on who runs the company. I think, you know, it isn't nationalization with a big N, but it is nationalization with a small N.
Well, they're only making recommendations, which is what some people criticize, and saying, look, they're not being tough enough on these banks and taking them over and under temporary government control, cleaning house, making the decisions that need to be made, and really fixing the problem. Are you saying that you are willing, as city controller, to have the federal government do that, that you want the federal government to do that despite the losses to the pension fund?
I'm saying as city controller, no, I don't want us running these major corporations. I don't want us – I don't want the federal government to be running AIG or to be running Citigroup. Do not. I don't think that's a good idea. At the same point, when I'm, I mean, at a certain point, we are playing word games, and that's the point I've made is that because of the huge stake that we have in places like Citigroup and AIG, and I'd said 40% before, that really is Citigroup with 40%.
Yeah, AIG is even more.
Yeah, no, it's as we
like
continue to pump in, you know, but – it is. We were starting to play word games. We still we have major investments.
Do you take any blame as controller for the drop in city pension fund capitalization now? You'd hardly be alone. But did you invest in the wrong things?
No, I think that we had spread risk out, if anything. Since I've been there, I've tried to diversify the portfolio even more to have less exposure to the stock market and spread things out, private equity, real estate, and other places. So, no, if anything, we've diversified over the last 7 years, diversified the portfolio even more.
How do you manage that money now with real estate and equities, both in such a slump?
Well, it is all managed externally. And, you know, you try and pick the best managers. You try and go through a public selection process or at least an RFP, competitive process, come back. Our trustees on each and every board see these. They vote and approve them. And in the end, we try and pick who we think are the best. And each and every one of them are voted on by a group of trustees and approved.
But are you rejiggering the balance of what the pension fund is invested in for this economy?
Well, you'll obviously look at more things like at distress areas and try and put more money in that and in things like that. But in the long run, you know, this is something, you know, pension funds have seen ups and downs over a period of decades. We're long-term investors and we believe that things will bounce back.
You say invest in distressed equities or distressed things? What does that mean?
Right now, distressed debt. If you look at, there are definitely things that have been marked down dramatically. There are firms now who, I mean, there are firms who over a period of time have looked at distressed areas, at companies that are perhaps struggling, and a number of different, you know, bad debt. And boy,
you're bargain hunting?
At this point, we're doing the best we can to try and bring return back for the members of our pension funds. And, you know, during these tough times, know if it is putting some money in areas that are going to help to, you know, things to bounce back or at least make money for our members of our fund, yes, we will.
Can the pension fund meet its obligations?
Sure. I mean, that's not the problem. The problem is making sure that in meeting those obligations, less is expected from the city of New York. And that's what you always strive to do.
Last thing. You were once president of the Board of Education. Would you reverse any of the Bloomberg-Klein education reforms?
Well, I believe in mayoral control. I continue to support mayoral control. I testified a few weeks ago in favor of continued mayoral control. I would like to see 3 changes in that area. I'd like to see greater financial transparency and openness in the accounts and the books at the Department of Education. I think that's important. I'd like to see, number 2, greater parental involvement in the education system because parents are frozen out. And 3, I think it is important to have an independent authority that kind of looks at testing and scores there and graduation rates and dropout rates because all too often we see multiple numbers.
Would you de-emphasize standardized tests?
I think that we've created too much of a focus on just standardized tests. I think we've started to see things leave the school system like arts and music education, physical education. So yes, I would say that we should de-emphasize it little. You don't want to eliminate it. I still think that standardized tests are valuable. At the same point, I think we've created perhaps a little bit too much of this George Bush, no child left behind focus on testing in schools. And we need to de-emphasize
and
that.
And President Obama wants student progress to be a criterion for teacher pay. You support that?
I think if you go back when I was at the Board of Education, we probably started the first experiment in teacher pay based on performance. So, you know, when the mayor announced it here in New York City last year, a year and a half ago, I was at the press conference because everyone realized that we'd begun that back in the 1990s in New York City.
Teachers union won't like that answer. Governor Patterson is on the other side of this, he said on the show last week.
I think the teachers union, when we looked at the pay for production, I think the teacher union was at the press conference also. So, you know, the UFT and those who would say, geez, they're going to oppose it, they were involved in the middle of it.
for student performance.
It was
based on student progress, measuring this school versus that school. I know they do it school-wide, but teacher-wide, and base their pay on it. You're for that.
I'm in favor of doing that on a school basis. I think it is important that you create collaboration within a school and not teachers trying to undercut each other. You want to see teachers work together.
All right. New York City Comptroller William Thompson, his mayoral campaign goes on, even if Anthony Weiner's does not. For the moment, looking for the Democratic nomination to run against Mayor Bloomberg this fall. Comptroller Thompson, thank you very much.
Always good being here. Good seeing you again.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a minute, the results of our investigation into small business insurance premiums, a follow-up from one of your uncommon economic indicators. Stay with us.